Our next case is Disciplinary Counsel versus Bruce Brown, case number 8-1573. Mr. Brown.
Good morning, Madam Chief Justice. May it please the Court. My name is Amir Jamal Tawab. And my birth name is Bruce Andrew Brown. With reference to case 08-1573, during the time the order was issued, I was incarcerated at the Belmont Correctional Institution, and I never received notice, nor did I know that there had been an order issued until subsequently, and I believe it was October of 2010, in a civil pleading in Cuyahoga County, opposing counsel attached a copy of the order to his pleadings. It was at that time that I realized the order of this court, and my use of the designation JD on my name prior to that time was done unbeknownst to me that an order had been issued.
Do you have anything further?
With reference to the $50,000 fee, I have not paid it because I do not have the money to pay it. And if at some time subsequently I am in a position to pay it and or make payments, I will do so.
Have you been admitted to practice law in our state?
I'm sorry?
Have you been admitted to practice law in our state?
No, sir. I mean, no, Your Honor.
Okay. And you are not admitted, as I understand it, in any state in the United States?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay. And do you feel that you can use the term JD or Esquire or practice law?
I have not used the term JD or Esquire to practice law, in my opinion, but I would respect the ruling of this court that I had used the term Esquire to practice law. But the record before this court, as well as before the—
Maybe I misunderstood. Did you say you did that or you did not do that?
I said I did not, but I said I would respect the ruling of the court that I did using the designation Esquire. But the record before this court, as well as before the disciplinary counsel, there is no allegation that I used JD to practice law, nor was there any adjudication that I had used JD to practice.
I believe there was a complaint from the Office of Disciplinary Counsel citing instances in which, since our decision in 09, you have used the JD designation.
That's correct, Your Honor. And as I previously stated, I did that up until October of 2010 when I was made aware of this court's order.
And how was it that you became aware of it? Did you say you were in the—
I am involved in a civil litigation in Cuyahoga County Common Pleas Court.
In what capacity?
As a plaintiff.
You were a plaintiff in a case?
Correct.
You weren't representing anyone?
I was representing myself pro se.
I see.
And the opposing counsel submitted it as an exhibit in one of his pleadings.
What was the nature of that? Is that the only instance in which you—
It was on email correspondence, and it was on a written correspondence.
But it was all in that singular case where you—
I'm involved in three civil cases, Your Honor. And
as the plaintiff?
As a plaintiff. And prior to my notice of the court's order, the signature on my email address had JD.
And what's the nature of those three?
One involves a theft from my home, vandalism from my home. The other involves the unauthorized sale of property of mine. And those were the only two, I believe, that it was used.
What do you do to support yourself?
I'm currently self-employed. And It's been a tough situation reacclimating myself since my release from incarceration. I was incarcerated for 17 months.
And self-employed doing what?
Business management consulting.
And when were you released from incarceration?
June 6, 2010.
In Ohio or New York?
In Ohio.
Have you taken the JDs and Esquires off of all of your emails and correspondence?
Yes, I have, Your Honor.
What is the status of your complaint with this civil rights complaint filed in the district court? Is that still pending?
Yes. The case was dismissed, and I filed a motion for reconsideration based on the case that Judge Gaughan cited in the in her opinion and order was a ruling of the, I believe, of this court that stated that use of JD was appropriate when it had not been used to improperly give someone the impression that one was practicing law. And in my situation, in as much as there's nothing in the record indicating or alleging that JD had ever been used improperly.
All right, so your defense here to this motion for contempt is that you never received the order from the court precluding you from using that designation, and you're here today in response to an order to show cause. Is that correct?
That's correct. I did not receive the order, nor did I receive notice of the order.
Do you, in fact, hold the degree of JD?
Yes, I do. I was awarded a JD in 1984
from
Columbia University in the city of New York.
And so you claim you were also not aware of our decision that imposed a penalty of $50,000.
I was not.
Okay, and you learned of that at the same time.
I believe it was October
of this last year.
Yes. Right. While I was incarcerated, someone had indicated to me that there was a $50,000 fee. It was explained to me, however, that it was involving the allegation. I was not aware that an opinion and order had been issued.
So you knew that there was a filing with the disciplinary council against you for the unauthorized practice of law?
Well, prior to my incarceration, Your Honor, there was a hearing. I mean, right. Chief Justice, there was a hearing, and I participated in that, so I did know that.
Okay. All right.
Are you currently residing in Solon on Penfield Lane?
I'm currently I'm not residing at the Penfield Lane residence at this time because there is no heat at that residence. I go there every day, but
what is your residence address, sir?
I'm residing with different friends.
Where do you get your mail?
At the Penfield Lane.
Do you own that property?
I personally do not own it. A company that I'm a member of owns that property.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Brown?
Thank you. May it please the Court, Lori Brown on behalf of Relator Disciplinary Council. First of all, Mr. Brown responded to one of the motions for an order to appear and show cause. He did not respond to the other. Relator submits that is simply because there is no defense to that request that he appear and show cause. He is in contempt of this court's 2003 order that there was an injunction that prohibited him from engaging in the unauthorized practice of law. As this court held in its March 2009 order, Mr. Brown, in fact, did repeatedly engage in the unauthorized practice of law. He is therefore in contempt of the 2003 order. Relator would request at the conclusion of this hearing that this court order that Mr. Brown be taken into custody and incarcerated for a period of not less than 90 days for being in contempt of this court's 2003 order. With regard to the 2008 case, which is the reflection of the court's 2009 decision, Mr. Brown claims that he did not have notice that this court precluded him from using ESQ or JD following his name. Relator submits that, in fact, he did know, and that you can tell that, Your Honors, by his reaction to opposing counsel in the months of August and September. When opposing counsel questioned him about his use of the name JD, his response was not, "Oh my gosh, I didn't know. I didn't know I was precluded." His response was, "That Supreme Court can't tell me what to do. They cannot prohibit me from using JD." As the affidavit that was submitted from Stephen Bales indicates, Your Honors, that was his response. So, Relator submits that, in fact, Mr. Brown was well aware of the order entered in March of 2009, and Mr. Brown is, in fact, in contempt of that order. Relator would request that he be taken into custody and incarcerated for a period of not less than 90 days to run concurrent with the sentence imposed for the violation of the 2003 order of this court. With regard to the general question of Mr. Brown's use of the initials JD, Relator agrees that Mr. Brown does in fact have a JD Juris Doctor from Columbia University. As this court is aware, he was admitted to the practice of law in the state of New York and was disbarred in 1992. I'd like to respond, first of all, to Mr. Brown's use of the initials JD. He has used those initials in conjunction with the name of his company, which is B. Andrew Brown and Associates, LLC. He defines himself as the managing member of that company. So it's not just the fact that he is using the initials following his name. He is using them in a way that indicates to members of the public, as you can tell by your 2009 opinion, members of the public, members of the judiciary, and members of law enforcement, that he is, in fact, an attorney. And he is not, has never been admitted to the practice of law in Ohio. With response to Justice O'Connor's question as to who owns the property that Mr. Brown on Penfield Road, that property is owned by the company named B. Andrew Brown and Associates, LLC. Relator is in possession of a deposition given by Mr. Brown in December, just approximately 3 weeks ago, during which he indicated that he had transferred that property into the name of B. Andrew Brown and Associates, LLC. Mr. Brown's claim that he does not have money to pay the $50,000 penalty levied by this court, I don't believe the record is sufficient to establish that at this time. I would suggest that this panel, this court, could refer that to a hearing. Relator submits that there is, in fact, evidence that Mr. Brown has access to funds. For example, Relator is aware that Mr. Brown has claimed that in 2008, this B. Andrew Brown and Associates company had gross revenues of $350,000. So the statements just don't quite match up. With regard to Mr. Brown's claim that his federal lawsuit is still pending, that is not accurate. As of January 14, 2009, Mr. Brown's motion for reconsideration by the court was denied just last week. In that opinion, the federal court commented on Mr. Brown's claims that he should be allowed to use JD, and the court was very clear in the federal court's reading of this court's 2009 entry that when this court said he was misleading people by the use of JD and ESQ, the court clearly precluded him from using JD for those reasons.
Ms. Brown, if we were to impose any or all of the sanction that you recommend, is he on probation for the offenses for which he was incarcerated, and would that then automatically trip? Does that become a violation of his probation and put him at risk?
I know
you're further in incarceration on the offenses for which he was incarcerated.
The only way I know to answer your question is his most recent incarceration, which was from January of 2009 to June of 2010, was based on a probation violation from a 2008 case. My impression, Your Honor, that if there were other probation violations at that time, those would have been triggered as well. Whether he is on probation from some other case or in some other county, I don't know.
So we don't know if we if we imposed a term of incarceration for contempt, if that could have a ramification with respect to his other case for which he's at some jeopardy.
I'm sorry.
We don't know what might happen with respect to.
I do not know whether Mr. Brown is on probation to the state of Ohio. I do not know that. I do not know. Mr. Brown has other civil cases pending, as he indicated. Its effect on that, I don't think, is relevant to this
and
court.
And I take it from your comments regarding the use of JD, because I just focused on that in our old opinion, that perhaps we should have been a little more precise. It would seem to me that if he has earned the degree, we can't take the degree away from him, but we can do what you suggest, and that is prohibit him from attaching that to his name in a way that is designed to represent or imply that he is a licensed lawyer in this state.
And I think, Your Honor, that your this court's 2009 opinion is that clear.
Okay.
Please understand as well, Your Honor, that the lawsuit in which Mr. Brown, one of the lawsuits in which Mr. Brown has used JD, he filed under his legal name, which is Amir Jamal Tawab. So we have the plaintiff, Amir Jamal Tawab. We have Mr. Brown, who is pro se, signing emails, B. Andrew Brown, JD, B. Andrew Brown & Associates, LLC, in a lawsuit that is captioned Tawab versus Huntington Bankshares. So we have an effort here to create layers of deceit and deception, if you will, about who the plaintiff is, who B. Andrew Brown is, and does he have a JD, and does he represent Mr. Tawab. It is a continuation of the course of conduct that Mr. Brown started in the state of Ohio when he returned from the state of New York.
I think at least I am getting the understanding he is a very intelligent person who has a law degree from a fine institution, who is more than a little bit clever in how he manipulates his holding out to the public.
I believe this court addressed that in March of 2009, very adequately, Your Honor.
Has he designated himself pro se in that lawsuit?
He is acting pro se. It's difficult to answer your question, Your Honor, only because the plaintiff's name is Amir Jamal Tawab. It's my understanding that B. Andrew Brown & Associates, LLC, has been added as a party since that's the name in which the house is held, the Huntington Bankshares case. So Mr. Brown is, in fact, pro se.
Are the pleadings signed pro se?
Yes.
Counsel, is there any evidence that any third parties have actually retained Mr. Brown in any way, or has anyone come forward to say that they have been harmed by the unauthorized practice of law?
Since the 2009 decision, Relator is in the process of evaluating a situation. I understand this is not governed by GovBar Rule 511E. It's not an attorney pleading proceeding where I would be able to unable to confirm or deny. I'm not certain as to how much information Your Honor is asking for. We continue to monitor Mr. Brown's conduct, I believe would be the best answer I can give you. Thank you. If there are no further questions.
Thank you. You can come up.
With respect to a couple points that Ms. Brown made, the caption in the lawsuit is Amir Jamal Tawab, a.k.a. Bruce Andrew Brown. That is because of the fact that my legal name is Amir Jamal Tawab.
Is there any place on those pleadings where you use the initials JD?
No, Chief Justice.
And do you continue, or at that time, did you use the initials JD in any writings, communications, et cetera?
Other than an email and I think maybe three or four letters, no. And with respect to the conversation.
You knew you can't do that.
I did not know that at the time. I know that now. I learned that in October. And in the conversation.
What about the information that was just given, that you were confronted with that information in the summer and dismissed it as this court not having authority to order that?
That's not true, Your Honor. What happened in that conversation? The attorney, the opposing counsel said, and you're not a lawyer and you're not a JD, and the Supreme Court said you're not. I replied, I have no idea what you're talking about. I graduated from Columbia Law School in 1984, and there has been an ongoing amount of misrepresentation from counsel in that case, Your Honor. And I think the docket would indicate that the counsel tried to, there were depositions in the case, and the counsel went to the judge and said that I was a dangerous person because I had been to prison, and he feared for his safety, and he didn't want to be involved in depositions with me unless there was an armed guard. I do have felony convictions, but they're all nonviolent, fourth and fifth degree. And the court ruled that, well, they denied his motion. He filed a motion for summary judgment. The first six pages had nothing to do with the case. They were about my record. That motion was denied. It has been an ongoing back and forth with this attorney.
Well, what's been ongoing is you coming into this court over the years. And, you know, we have to decide how do we deliver this message that is going to preclude you, where you're going to acknowledge and you're going to comply with the order from this court stating that you cannot use the designation of JD or Esquire or any other designation indicating your law degree in a manner that would put out to the public that you have the capacity to act in an attorney's capacity.
I'm well aware of that now, Your Honor, and it was for that reason that I removed it from my email signature, and I don't use it on correspondence any longer. The reason I didn't address the 2003 case is because when you call the cases, you did not mention the 2003 case. I did, in fact, file a response to that case immediately upon my receipt of it. It, however, was sent back to me because they said the clerk's office said it had not been timely filed. I responded the very next day after I received it. And if I may, I would like to discuss the response briefly that I included in that.
You've got 3 minutes left here. So
in her motion for order to show cause, Ms. Brown stated that she did not file her motion because she knew I was incarcerated. In an analogous situation, this court has ruled in State versus Harrison that when a person is incarcerated and there are pending charges that could lead to further incarceration, pursuant to 2941.401, he has the right to have those cases adjudicated in the event that they can be run, the time that could be served could be run concurrent, so as to oppose any imposition of sentence after the person's release. As Ms. Brown expressly stated in her motion, she didn't file the motion because she wanted to wait until I was released from prison. Had this been a criminal matter, she would be precluded from doing that under 2941.401 and State versus Harrison. And I would just state to the to your honors that this is a civil matter. And if there's protection in a criminal matter, the same protection should be utilized in a civil matter because the civil penalties are much less than those in a criminal matter.
Are you currently on probation?
Yes, I am.
For what charge?
Passing bad checks.
And how much time do you have left on your probation?
I believe 60 days.
And what type of sentence do you have hanging over your head for this probation?
6 months.
All right. Anything further?
I was not aware of the district court's ruling last week. I have not received it, and I'm not on PACER, so it was not my intent to mislead the court when I said that it was still pending. I haven't received anything from the federal court. and I don't have the money to subscribe to PACER, so I can't review the docket. The federal court docket is not online. You have to pay a subscription fee.
All right. We will take the matter under advisement, and you will be notified of our decision. Marshall, would you adjourn court, please?